Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack Go.
Who the Pack gon' grab in the NFL draft?
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. Jordan Love extension talks are underway, but we're coming to you with more NFL draft talk, as well as what's going on with the team, where are the players at, what is the mindset, and more. So thank you for tuning in, and let's get into today's episode. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichstead. I'm your host, and Packers fans, welcome in from the over 100 plus countries listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. It is draft season. The NFL draft is coming up here real quick. It's going to be here before you know it. So make sure you're subscribed. And if you like today's show, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That is the number one way to help us grow. Texting it to another Packers fan is also very important to spread the word in the community. Let's get these draft conversations going and get our Packers back to another Super Bowl. I'm joined by my co-host KJ. KJ, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Packers Nation, it is always a special treat to be with you all. We've got over 110 countries listening in. We've got over 90,000 followers on X. We've got over hundreds of millions of Packers fans reached across the globe. It's pretty special. Whether they're Packers fans, whether they're not Packers fans, it is pretty cool how this community is reaching hundreds of millions of people each year organically. Very special. Such a blessing to be with you all. And I'm doing great, man. I'm super excited. We've got a big win happening in the background as we speak. Maybe we'll talk about that in future episodes. Big personal wins going on. But, you know, man, I'm excited because Packers fans may see this team is rounding into form. This team is almost there in terms of Super Bowl caliber. Like, we've got our quarterback, check. We've got our running back, check. We've got our receivers, check. We've got our tight ends, check. We've got our offensive line, nearly there, check. We've got our defensive line, check. We've got our linebackers, okay, maybe we could use one or more. We've got some pass rushers, check. But then the secondary in the safety position is kind of like the one question mark in addition to kicker. So I think that's a good place to start. I mean, we saw, speaking of reach in this community, we saw Justin Simmons and HaHa Clinton Dix getting in on the conversation last week. We asked Packers fans if they think safety is a position to target in the first round. I mean, I'm just going to answer that myself. I know HaHa Clinton Dix and Justin Simmons are both like, oh, you have to draft in the first round. And obviously they're a little biased because they play safety. They want to get their paychecks. You know, they want to basically just like, they're naturally biased, right? But my take is certainly not in this draft. And we've seen the safety market kind of grind to a standstill. Like, the Packers signed the crown jewel. You know, our guy, we got him on a pretty fair deal, the new guy. Xavier McKinney, exactly. We still have some holes to be filled. Like, and the fact of the matter is, Packers fans, if you look in the draft, there is slim pickings at the safety position. Like, this isn't even like an average class. This is like a pretty rough class when it comes to safety. You've got Cooper DeJean, who's like the head and shoulders number one safety prospect in the class. But the problem is he's going to want to be playing corner. And I think a lot of teams envision him being played as a corner. So it's like, you know, he might even go a little higher because cornerbacks usually get drafted pretty high. But after that, a lot of Packers fans are in on Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, an absolute disastrous athletic showing for him at the pro day. This guy is not athletic at all. And Cameron Kinchins from Miami, a disastrous athletic showing from him as well. Those guys are falling as we speak. It makes zero sense to waste a second round pick on them. Maybe they'll prove us wrong, but really it is slimmer and slimmer pickings from the draft side of things. I'm looking at a guy like Jaden Hicks, I believe his name is, out of Washington State. This guy's a big Cam Chancellor size safety. We threw a highlight of him on Ike Packers like a week or two ago. Might have to scroll back a little bit, but he looks the part. And you also got a Javon Bullard from Georgia. That guy is pretty fast, runs in the 4.4s. So those are two guys I would like to target. But I think that kind of brings us back to a question we touched on last week's pod, Alex. should the Packers just say F it and sign Justin Simmons as well? Because his market is kind of ground to a halt over here. Otherwise, he'd be signed by now. There's guys like Jamal Adams still out there. There's a ton of safety talent available, and it's looking like the teams have the leverage here and not the other way around. It's not like, you know, Xavier McKinney had all the leverage, had multiple teams bidding on him. These guys are like, look, I think maybe $8 million is better than $0. You know what I'm saying? So in my opinion, the Packers, you could either target one of those guys, Javon Bullard out of Georgia, you know, Jaden Hicks out of Washington State, maybe in the second and third round, probably the third round to be more realistic. If you don't grab DeGene in the first, or maybe the early second, if he slips because of the leg, broken leg concerns, we'll see what happens. It's a storyline to monitor, Packers fans. I think you might as well take a flyer on one of these like elite all-pro safeties like Justin Simmons. Like, if you're really going to go for a Super Bowl, that is a move that could get you even closer. He's a quarterback of the defense, and together him and Xavier McKinney, you know, you basically give that big check mark off to the safety position. You can target cornerback early on in that draft, and then your team is stacked. Grab the best kicker in the class, maybe in the fourth or fifth round, something like that. You don't mess around. Solidify the team. Let's win a Super Bowl. Alex, any thoughts on what I was just talking?
I feel, Packers fans, as if I would not even look towards the NFL draft when it comes to the safety position this year. What is so bad about going into the scrap heap and getting a safety that wants to earn his job and actually make tackles? Your free safety, your center fielder, as they would say, Xavier McKinney, he's locked up. He's going to be the guy who is going to be making the plays on the ball as a ball hawk, or kind of controlling the defense from in back. And next to him, just find another Rudy Ford, find another Jonathan Owens, find someone
yeah.
who does not really have these golden green deals in front of him, but want to earn a contract and just stay relevant, stay in the league. I think there's plenty of guys out there that'll do that. And what I would do instead, KJ, is I would draft one of the many cornerbacks that are in this year's draft that are actually testing well. Every time yep. we talk about mock draft, Packers fans, it seems like a lot of you are up in the air about which cornerback you would take at 25. You know, first we say Cooper DeGene. Some of you want the Alabama guys. Hey, if Nate Wiggins is there, are you taking him? Probably yes. Quinyon Mitchell, certified baller. Will he drop? Probably not. But if he's there, you got to probably take him.
That's an easy pick if he slides. Ray yeah. Straw
Jr. from Mizzou. We've had him on the show.
You I know would like him.
Reality. You know what his tape does. And Cage, it goes on with these corners. It's a deep corner draft, Packers fans. There's several, if not 10 of them, that are going to go in the first two, three rounds. And why not take two of those guys and go out in free agency, sign a Justin Simmons and sign some broke guy off the heap? That's what would be my preference. Honestly, put him next to Xavier McKinney and let him learn and let him earn, let him fight for it. Right. These type of players always can rise. I think notably of like a Sam Shields, right? You find someone with some potential yeah. and just let them learn next to some of these all pro guys. That's what you go out and sign Xavier McKinney for. That's what you have Jaire Alexander there in the secondary paid for, is that they can rub off on the younger guys who maybe you don't need to spend your high draft capital on, especially when they're testing slow, just because they play that safety position, KJ. What are your thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, you really put an idea into my head, because these safeties, like the Newbins and the Kinchins that looked really good, are testing so slow. We're talking high 4.6s, Packers fans, and it's making Ennis Rakestraw's 4.51. And Alex, maybe you're able to pull up what he did at his pro day. I think that was on Friday. I mean, Ennis Rakestraw Jr., you look at his tape, he's hanging with SEC speed, no problem. 4.51 is a lot faster than high 4.6s. What if this guy played some corner and safety for us? You know, that's the kind of out-of-the-box thinking that I think. He's a great tackler. He's the best tackling corner in the draft. We had him on the show a few weeks ago. You know, he's a dog. He's got that dog mentality. I mean, this guy's mom had when she was like 15 or 16 years old. Life was not easy for Ennis Rakestraw Jr. This guy's got all the makings of a stud. He just didn't test blazing speed at the combine, but 4.51 would be one of the fastest safeties in this entire draft. And he's also proven he can be a very effective corner too, while being able to tackle as well. So the fact that Ennis Rakestraw Jr. could bring some of that versatility is making me more and more open to him. You know, he's going to be available. Maybe in the mix. I think potentially.
If you heard that, KJ. 4.44.
What do you run?
A 4.44.
What did?
All four.
4.44. Holy cow. Well, then you got to think about taking him. Yeah. I mean, like Ennis Rakestraw Jr. at the pro day, if he's running a 4.44, I think he's zeroing in on being the guy. I was just going to say, I think he might go as high as Baltimore. I think that that's like the earliest he might go. And I think they're a pick or two ahead of the pack. But if he also the pack at 25, I think there's a lot of smoke screens being thrown around about this guy where teams just aren't like acting like they're very high. I mean, like Quinyon Mitchell's getting all the love, right? But playing football at Toledo is a whole different story than playing in the SEC where you're going up against studs, LSU receivers. You beat this guy around hybrid safety. That's the kind of thing that I could get behind. Because think about it, Packers fans. Demarvius Randall was drafted as a cornerback. And then this guy ended up playing some safety for the Packers because it didn't end up working out before he shipped off to the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, he had his issues as well. It's very interesting. You know, it is very interesting, the possibilities here. Braden Fisk, you look at him during his pro day, he's got the testing and he's also got the eye test. We had him on the show as well. This guy, I think, is a sleeper to rise. I think he could go as high as the Rams at 19, I believe they're picking at. But I mean, if you can have a sideline to sideline defensive tackle, look and judge for yourself, Packers fans. We threw up Braden Fisk at his pro day on Ike Packers like a few tweets back. If you scroll just a little bit, you can see for yourself how quickly this guy is moving, getting high, getting low. It's just impressive, right? It kind of catches the eye. You're like, I don't see many big men move like that. He certainly knew how to win at Florida State. He would go up against Jared Verse, the other sought after defensive end, edge rusher. I mean, talk about another name where if he falls the Packers at 25, I think he's a name. We also threw up some tape on Jared Verse going up against the Duke offensive lineman. I believe his name is Will Barton or something Graham like that. Graham Barton, he can play all five offensive lineman positions. So that's something, you know, the Packers are licking their chops over. And honestly, as a fan myself and as an analyst myself, I'm licking my chops over it as well, because you never know where the injury is going to hit on your offensive line. So if you could grab a guy like Graham Barton in the first, you know, 25, maybe you trade back a few spots and something like that, do extra mid-round picks in the process, and you get a guy just plug and play throughout your entire offensive line. Like, that's the kind of stuff that the Packers need to win a Super Bowl. Don't count out him. Don't count out Jared Verse. Don't count out Ennis Rakestraw Jr. Don't count out Cooper DeJean. Don't count out Braden Fisk. Alex, any other guys I'm kind of like, you know, you might see in the range for the Packers there? Chop Robinson's one. He seems to be rising. I think he might be going a little earlier, but if he falls the pack, you'd have to look long and hard about him. Like, who are some other guys you think Packers fans should be aware of in this first pick 25?
Well, Packers fans, maybe you're feeling a little bit like me and not so ready to draft another Alabama or Georgia player, but there's about four guys I'm going to read off. First, offensive tackle JC Latham. He's going to be around. He might go to the Cowboys, the pick before the Packers. They're looking for offensive linemen. He may go to the Eagles, who also need offensive linemen, but he's an offensive tackle that, you know, has played against the best of the best there. Also, cornerbacks Terrion Arnold for Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think Arnold is kind of the de facto number one on people's boards when it comes between those two guys. But you can't pull out a dude whose name's Kool-Aid, right? Like that.
I got a note for Kool-Aid.
Has a little bit of a X factor.
Recent development on Kool-Aid. It was revealed during his medical testing that he actually has like a stress fracture in his foot or something like that, where this guy's going to fall. I think Kool-Aid's going to fall, and I think he might even be available in the second for the Packers. So, like Alex says, you cannot rule out a guy named Kool-Aid because you know he can ball. But Kool-Aid's medicals revealed an injury. Yeah, I mean, like, his medicals revealed an injury. So it's like, I think you almost have to remove him from pick 25 discussion and more focus on pick 41 or the Packers' second round pick. And Alex, maybe we can talk about some guys in that general range, right? Like, you know, some of these guys are going to fall. I think pick 41 is among the juiciest selections in this entire draft, because one of these guys that certain teams have first round grades on is going to be available at pick 41. I mean, maybe this guy from Oregon falls, right? Like the center, because there is a deep center class here. I know Zach Frazier from West Virginia. This guy is so tough. You know, I know he's tough. He was a 4-year state wrestling champ or something like that in West Virginia or wherever he's from. You got to starve yourself. You got to lose weight on an instant dime. You got to sweat out weight. It's so tough. It's just like these fighters going into the fights. Have you ever seen the Conor McGregor documentary? He's going through complete agony, sweating out a few extra pounds before fights. I mean, these guys are so weak when they get to the weigh-in, and then they go and eat and gain the weight and the strength back right before their fight. Wrestlers have to do all of that, but they don't get as much glory. Zach Frazier from West Virginia is a guy in the second round to keep an eye on, because our center, Josh Myers, isn't entering the last year of his deal as well. So it's going to be very interesting. The Packers have the third rounds to play with. They have their fourth rounders to play with. And that means all three of those picks, the Packers' first round pick at 25 and their 2 second round picks. It wouldn't surprise me if Goot does some maneuvering here. And boy, what a spot to be in. You could probably get 3 starters from those 3 picks, in my opinion.
Here's what I'm looking at, Packers fans, in terms of the second round board, right? We've been talking a lot about Braden Fist, the defensive tackle. He on our board is potentially higher than others because we've gotten a chance to speak with him, really get deep into the tape. But if he falls into the second round and starts sliding towards 41, you're probably going to have
to pull the trigger. Yeah, you got to snag him at 41.
Number two on my board for the second round is Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver from Texas, the blazing fast 40-yard time. Do I expect him to fall to 41? No, but looking around the league, some people have him with a second round grade. And so if he's available at 41, why not pull a trigger on the fastest dude in NFL combine history and just live with the results, right? Like Junior Colson, linebacker from Michigan. He's going to be around those picks in the 40s, as well as Peyton Wilson, the linebacker for NC State that we touched on briefly last time. Maybe Edger and Cooper still around in the 40s, KJ. Those three linebackers, at least one should be able to come to the Packers.
Yeah, you're right.
Linebacker in that second round. But if you're looking at 41, which I'm kind of looking at right now, is that premier second round pick that the Packers have that came from the Jets. You're taking the best player available at that pick too. There might be Michael Penix before you. There might be a couple guys who are rising. Maybe Kool-Aid falls. Maybe Graham Barton falls. Maybe even some of the other receivers that we've been talking about. This is a deep receiver class as well. And if teams don't necessarily need a receiver at the top of the 30s, like a lot of the teams that are picking the first 10, they might be going different position groups straight up.
And they could go get them.
So Packers have this power position to go up and take the best available player at 41 as well, KJ. Is there anyone else, you know, I'm thinking about, or any of those names that stands out to you?
I mean, you said it, Alex, Xavier Worthy from Texas. I think the thing about him, you mentioned a phrase that stuck out to me, fastest in NFL combine history, right? And you know what the most recent comp of that in terms of fastest in NFL combine history was? It was basically Anthony Richardson last year, the quarterback from Florida. And everyone was like, man, this guy's tape looks awful, but he is the most athletic quarterback to ever test. Where's he going to go? What's his draft range? He ended up going number 4 overall. So that when I run that logic meter in my head, I think Xavier Worthy is probably not going to even get to the Packers at 25. I think he's going to be gone before then. But doesn't mean like if he's there at 41, like you got to pull the trigger on that. You got to add a potential Tyreek Hill to your team. I don't care how deep we are. Those type of weapons. It's not about him taking like Dontavian Wicks's spot. It's not about him taking Romeo Dobbs' spot. It's about giving Jordan Love an option to dump the ball off 3-4 yards and take it 86 yards. Like that is what you want. You know, I think the more we talk this out, Alex, I think the Packers might go offensive line or cornerback. I really think those are the two positions you're zeroing in on. You can never count out pass rusher when it comes to Goot, but I think a lot of the good pass rushers are probably going to be going before. I mean, we got a guy like Darius Robinson from Missouri. You know that Goot was actually at Missouri's pro day on Friday. So Packers fans, Kuntz was there with his own eyes looking at the Missouri prospects. He was looking at Darius Robinson, make no mistake. He was looking at Ennis Rakestraw, make no mistake, especially after hearing that Ike Packers podcast episode, which I encourage everyone to check out. I mean, Darius Robinson, they're saying that this guy's like the best 4-3 fit defensive end in the class. So there is something to be said about that. He's got great production. Apparently he's got pretty good measurables, physicality for what we're looking for in terms of someone to fill that role. But then again, you keep just like bantering around about the Packers and what we could use. I really think you could use another talented offensive lineman. We've got our first three picks all in the top two rounds. I think you're going to get a defensive back for sure, probably a pass rusher and probably an offensive lineman in the first three picks. Alex, maybe anything, you know, else you're looking at there. Maybe you have a couple more names. I know I mentioned the safeties. I think you could get in round two, round three, Bullard from Georgia and also Hicks from Washington State. I think you could probably keep until the third round for those guys. No need to reach and get a guy with a less premium position. They're kind of like the running backs of the defense. You can find talented safeties all over the place, as evidenced by like a Justin Simmons, you know, as evidenced by guys that the Packers have found, like Keyshawn Nixon, like Rudy Ford, like even Jonathan Owens. You can find guys that play the position. But yeah, any other guys you think we should be noticing? And then maybe I do like Peyton Wilson. I do like Edrin Cooper. But then maybe we can talk about like Jordan Love's contract.
I'm seeing Edrin Cooper fly up boards. This board I have up here's got him at 21. Packers fans are a little upset with us when we took him at 25 in our latest mock draft. But expect the top testing linebacker to just kind of fill some team's need in the first round. I would be shocked if there's no linebackers taken in the first round, KJ. So I do expect him to almost be gone, or at least a very reasonable option at 25 where you could take him. Another name that's just, it might fall, but it could go top 10 as well, is Nate Wiggins. ACC got some serious disrespect this season in terms of the stiffing of Florida State into that playing game. And so what makes you think that they're not going to get stiffed in the NFL draft in the same way? And so maybe some of these guys like Jared Verse, like Nate Wiggins, who are playing in that conference, would slide when other seasons they would rise, because maybe the Alabama corners go ahead. So keep your eyes on Nate Wiggins. He's kind of a tall, long cornerback who's got that blazing fast speed. Would he be too much like a Eric Stokes? Probably. Maybe you don't want to even go that type of corner and you're better off going with an Ennis Rakestraw Jr. after the Stokes debacle, someone who's more physical. But Packers fans, one name that I keep going back to, he's not on the Packers board and we're not even looking at him, but I just feel like this guy's going to ball on the next level. It's Bo Nix. And so KJ, my question for you is, how many of the top five picks are going to be quarterbacks?
Top five. You could probably say four of the five. I think four of the five, man. I think, Three for sure. I think there's going to be a trade either into the Cardinals spot or the Chargers spot. Because the Chargers are five, correct?
Chargers are at five.
Yep. I think maybe one of those teams stands pat, and I think one of them gets swaps out for a quarterback needing team. Maybe it's the Vikings. Like maybe the Vikings trade up and take McCarthy or take Nix. It's going to certainly be three. I would be shocked if it's not three. I would think my gut says four just because quarterbacks always rise, even when it seems unlikely. Like Anthony Richardson last year went number four overall and his tape was pretty brutal. I mean, if you look at these guys, like all the quarterbacks here have pretty good tape, whether it's Penix Jr., who's being completely disregarded right now as like a second rounder or something like that, maybe late first. I think he's going to rise. I think Bo Nix is going to rise. Like Alex and I have talked about, his name certainly seems like the kind of guy who will rise. But J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, I'm not as high on, but I do think he can be a good pro. And then there's Caleb Williams. Like, there's a lot of good quarterbacks here, and teams need a good quarterback to compete. It's just the way it is. So your entire team is capped if you don't have a good quarterback. You got to get one, and you got to win. You got to build around him. You got to take advantage of his rookie deal. And speaking of rookie deal, Jordan Love is about to kind of, I would be shocked if he doesn't get a huge extension from the Packers this offseason. We asked Packers fans, like, what do you think his extension is going to look like? Alex, maybe you can pull up some of those responses. We asked how many years and what's the dollar amount? And Alex, maybe you want to read like 10, 15 of those responses to get a good sample size. We can banter about it for a bit.
Sturdy King J says 5 years, 200 million.
That's low.
Tony says 5 years, 255 million.
Sounds good. That sounds good.
Owen Olsen says I wouldn't pay more than 25 million a year as he played good for only one season right now. Plus, everyone wants these huge contracts until they realize every player around them is going to be a scrub because they can't afford a Justin Jefferson.
True. I mean, he makes a good point with like his reasoning, but obviously Jordan Love's going to get, you know, in my opinion, like somewhere around 50 mil, but keep going now.
Cole Vetter, 4 years, 215 million.
Interesting. Interesting.
Go Pack Go says 5 years, 250 mil. Canute says 4 years, 198.
I'd be happy with either of those two.
Yep. All Wisconsin says 4 years, 90. Tonk says 5 years, 200 with 50 million in incentives.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if Jordan's going to sign anything like that.
Andy Fritz says 10 years, 500 million.
That would be sick. Imagine the Packers just, I mean, that's almost like throwing a little too much though off of like 1 year, but we'll see. We'll see.
You get paid $500 million off of 1 year, man. I mean,
you got a good agent.
Well done. I don't think that's happening, but craziest things have happened. Jack Straw says 4 years, 200. Thomas Montana says 4 years, 176. Manny says 3 years, 95. Wick season says 5 years, 165. Barry Prosser says 5 years, 150. Andre Charter says 6 years, 300. One Way Fro says 5 years, 210. And so KJ, what's your take? And then I'll give my take on what I think it's going to be.
I think the most accurate one I heard that I think can actually be the answer is that 5 years, 255 mark, because it seems like 50 million is the going rate and they're going to want to give Jordan Love like a $1 million more a year just for like respect money. Like Dana White calls it respect money. Right. And I think Jordan Love's certainly earned some respect. You know, we'll see if he takes like a team friendly deal. Maybe he'll do 5 years, like 240, right. Just like gives back a little bit. So we can have more of these rookie receivers and young receivers kind of staying around him, these young linemen, these young defensive playmakers. You know, I think it's going to be between 5 years, 255 and 5 years, 260, if I had to give my take. What about you, Alex?
I would love 4 years, 190.
I would love that, too. I would love that, too.
That would be my move, Packers fans, 4 years, 190. And if he wins a Super Bowl, give him a fat bonus. I don't really care. I'm just a little nervous off of this. You would see this in baseball where a guy has a tremendous first year because the scouting report and just the overall estimation of how good he's supposed to be is much lower than his reality. But then the second year, you're expecting maybe him to be absolutely Cy Young or lights out MVP Jordan Love. So you game plan heavily and things are different. And so we haven't really seen, truth be told, Jordan Love face a year of adversity yet. And as a Packers fan, I hope never he really has a tough year. But if there's going to be one, I mean, it's not like
probably going to be this year.
It's not everything smooth sailing. It's like this is a make or break year for Jordan Love in terms of like, OK, if he destroys this year, Packers have a great shot at winning the Super Bowl and I'll be a happy guy. But if teams really start to game plan against him and then, you know, I don't know if they can stop him. That's the thing we have to figure out is like, where is the consistency at with this team, KJ? You read off those positions earlier in this show about, okay, we're stacked here. But who's going to go out there and actually be a top five unit? Is it going to be the D-line going to be this year? Are we actually going to have a top five, you know, receiving core with multiple 1,000-yard guys? Are we going to have a bunch of scrappers fighting for another 800 yards? We have to ask ourselves, are we going to be a top 10 team or are we going to really be a Super Bowl winning team? And when it comes down to it, you have to really beat one of the best teams in the league. You're going to have to go up against the Chiefs or the 49ers. It's going to be that again in the playoffs. Packers fans, every year it seems like a broken record. We're like, oh, you're the 49ers Packers again. But That's just the reality of what happens when you're playing a good franchise. The 49ers are going nowhere, in my opinion. And we're going to have to go through them, the Detroit Lions. And that's not a guarantee that Jay Love is just going to all of a sudden be balling super hard. So I would pump the brakes. I think giving him $250 million, it might send the wrong message, KJ, like anything with a two ahead of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I absolutely hear the logic. I absolutely hear the logic. And I love the fiscal responsibility aspect. I do. I would be happy with 4 years, 190. I would be happy with 5 years, 240, 250, 255, or 260. I think any more than that's like a little bit of like, okay, do we really have to give him that much? Let's try and field the team around him type thing. But I think it's going to be in that range. I think we're going to be looking at like 47 to like 50, 52 a year. And we'll see. You know, I hope Jordan Love's our quarterback for a long time. Yeah, what was it?
Packers fans, we're about to find out what type of agent we're going to be dealing with Jordan Love over the course of his career as well, because certain players,
David Mugdala,
take different types of deals, KJ. That's stemming from Tom Brady to Aaron Rodgers, I think, on that spectrum, right? Guy who wants significant money or a guy who's willing to cut a little bit for the good of the team. And I think Jordan Love has some of those Brady, tangibles. But I don't know if he's willing to cut the money based on what his agent's going to be going for. So, Packers fans, write us in what you think. Is Jordan Love going to get more of an Aaron Rodgers deal or a Tom Brady deal? That's going to determine a lot, because Rodgers couldn't get back to that second Super Bowl, arguably because he didn't take that pay cut, get that one extra player that could put the team over the top. KJ, in the final closing thoughts, what do you feel in general about the offense and defense, if you were to grade them on a scale from A to F heading into the NFL draft here?
I think the offense, I feel like a B plus. I think the defense, I feel like a B, you know. I think that's where I'm at, and I'm not trying to hand out easy A's here. I'm trying to be critical, because
I like,
you know, we won one playoff game. We're better than a B, you know what I'm saying? If our team grade, I think our team grade is probably like a B plus. You know, I don't know if I give it an A minus, because we got to like take steps. And I think we caught a little bit of magic in a bottle, lightning in a bottle. But I'm going to say a definitive B plus. You could twist my arm and get an A minus, but I'm a tough cookie. I'm not going to hand out A's just like, you know, they might do other places these days. So, man, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed this week's show. Take us home.
Yep, Packers fans, if you like today's podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Text it to another Packers fan. That's the number one way to help us out. We appreciate all of you. We're going to be doing more mock drafts, so follow us on X, engage in that content. Haha, Clinton Dix, Justin Simmons, they're watching it. All the players are watching it, and you're watching it as well. So the community, you're just as equal as they are in that community. So get your takes in, get those likes ramped up, and make sure you stay with us every step of the way. KJ, thanks for coming on to the show. And as always, Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go forever.
This episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go pack go.
So quiet, my soul's alone, it's fine. You got me feeling something new. Have to keep me loose. I've been holding on to this, wouldn't miss this. 'Cause I've been waiting for your love, and I swear I know you, but that's not enough. If you ever leave, I won't forget these nights. Can you feel the elements catch fire? 'Cause I've been waiting for your love, and I swear I know you, but that's not enough. If you ever leave, I won't forget these nights. Can you feel the elements catch fire? not enough. If you ever leave, I won't forget these nights. Can you feel the elements catch fire? 'Cause I've been waiting for your love, and I swear I know you, but that's not enough. If you ever leave, I won't forget these nights. Can you feel the elements catch fire? 'Cause I've been so quiet, my soul's alone, it's fire.